Epistle appointed to be read for this, the 16th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Ephesians. Brethren, I pray you not to be disheartened at my tribulations for you, for they are your glory. For this reason, I bend my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom all fatherhood in heaven and on earth receives its name, that he may grant you from his glorious riches to be strengthened with power through his Spirit unto the progress of the inner man, and to have Christ dwelling through faith in your hearts, so that being rooted and grounded in love, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know Christ's love which surpasses knowledge, in order that you may be filled unto all fullness of God. Now to him who is able to accomplish all things in a measure far beyond what we ask or conceive, in keeping with the power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the Church of Christ Jesus, down through all the ages of time, without end. Amen. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, when Jesus entered the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to take food, they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had the dropsy. And Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath?" But they remained silent. And he took and healed him and let him go. Then addressing them, he said, "Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fall into a pit, and will not immediately draw him up on the Sabbath?" And they could give him no answer to these things. But he also spoke a parable to those invited, observing how they were choosing the first places at table. And he said to them, "When thou art invited to a wedding feast, do not recline in the first place, lest perhaps one more distinguished than thou have been invited by him, and he who invited thee and him come and say to thee, 'Make room for this man.' And then thou begin with shame to take the last place. But when thou art invited, go and recline in the last place, that when he who invited thee comes in, he may say to thee, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then thou wilt be honored in the presence of all who are at table with thee. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted." Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, there are several different things that I will address myself to this morning in somewhat of a piecemeal way, but nevertheless, I'll try. The first thing that I wish to bring to our attention this morning is a very important feast day this coming Friday, which is the feast. Everyone here knows Saint Michael, and everyone here knows the part that Saint Michael played in all of this from the very beginning. This has continued, and it grows worse by the moment, by the minute. Therefore, my beloved people, I think that we should all make it a sincere and very definite point to approach Saint Michael for protection, for our own protection, and for the protection of what we believe in, our holy religion. Need I bring to your attention the problems that have, over the past several years, besieged us, but in this present moment, the problems that are facing us all in very definite ways. We do not know which way things are going to go. Have I not brought it to your attention on more than one occasion, my dear people, look out. Satan is about to swing his tail another time, maybe the last time for him, hopefully. But in the process that with his last swing, he may sweep too many of us aside. My beloved people, you must not let that happen to you and yours. You have got to be strong. You have got to be strong in your faith. You've got to be strong in all that you stand for. You've got to understand why you come to a place like this. And as so many of you travel great distances to come here, why? Why is this? What compels you? What prompts you? What inspires you to this? This is serious and important. And the hand of God, can be no question about it, the hand of God is guiding us, you, us. Saint Michael will be there to protect us. Pray, my beloved people, that you and us and we and all of the holy faith, of the true faith, of Christ's faith, be kept in the shadow of his wing. This is important. We cannot do it of our own. You know that. Therefore, my beloved people, prayer. The next thing that I wish to bring to your attention, it might be a bit early, but I want us to start early, and that is, I want your prayer. Of all things to us, and because of the operation of the grace of God, three young men have approached us to become part of our community. This is a grace that, as far as I am concerned, is unbelievably wonderful. And as far as I am concerned, it is the very, very first time for us for this to have happened to us. I want your prayer for them. They are under the special protection of Saint Raphael. We've got to go to the archangels. And that Saint Raphael will protect them and cause them to persevere. They will receive their full habit as novices on the Feast of Christ the King, the last Sunday of October. And this is put in today's bulletin to get everybody at least ready for the occasion. So I beg your prayer for that. Now, this morning, for the final time, I will not go into what has to be said because it's in the bulletin. And that's that. And as I said in the bulletin, you have been told, or it's been brought to your attention over the past several weeks, what is required for you and us to be Catholic. And this is what we sincerely insist upon. Now we have to put that where it belongs in its proper perspective. You, my dearest people, have come here, among other great things, to learn how to become saints. What else is there for us to give that you, each and every one of you, become a saint? Now, this morning, you will find in the vestibule, we put out the Baltimore Catechism. You older heads know that this is number 4 here for teachers and adults. You older heads know that this is the book that was taught to every single solitary one of us when we were in school, was it not? Therefore, I bring this to you. There are copies in the vestibule, and I would like for each family to have such a copy. I do not know if we will hold out or not this morning with enough copies. Father Francis is going to get some more. I have some more in my room. If we run out, my beloved people, I will order some more. This is where our answer is. It is not in the lips or in the opinion or anything else of any individual who stands up to give an opinion. This is where the answer is. Therefore, I ask you, when you take these up, even if you have no children, take one home. Let's all look at the same textbook so we can be on the same page. I want you to study it from cover to cover. This is where it all is. This is not, but the thing that's important I wish to keep to your attention also is that this tells you what to do. This tells you what we have to do. No ifs and ands about it. This does not tell you or us how to do it. It is not a book of religion to be clear about it. It is not a book of religion. It is not a spiritual reading book. It tells us what to do. It does not tell us how to do. And if we are above, hopefully, speaking so, maybe I speak as a fool. Maybe I am a fool. But this, my beloved people, with God's grace, is where we shall learn how to do it and how to become saints. We are living in the grimmest times of all grim times, and everything points against us. Our blessed Lord has said to others on occasion that no one is going to snatch a saint from his hands, or soul rather, is going to snatch a soul from his hands. Beloved people, we have to work to make that so. You come here by the grace of God. May you receive the grace of God in abundance and superabundance for peace and hope and faith and serenity and consistency, being constant in the faith. That's all there is on this earth, is our holy faith. Now, we must understand what our faith is. It is not just a matter of knowing this, that, or the other. That is true. It is that. But it's not that only. Our faith must be that which will lead us to what we have to do if we ever really expect to be saints. You've heard me say this over and over again, and you've heard me use this word over and over and over again, and I will continue to use it over and over again, and that is our love. If we do not love God as we ought, our faith will not be strong enough to bring us to our eternal reward. It is the love of God that builds up our faith, and it works the other way around too. It is our faith that does what? That builds up our love for God. They work together. They're really almost hard to distinguish one from the other. So my beloved people, it is our love. And it is the love that one has for the beloved. If you truly love, if I, you or I, truly love God, as God, as Jesus Christ wants us to love him, it will be impossible for you or I to offend him. You cannot offend the one you truly love. And there's another addendum to this, and that is that even in the case of love between one human and another, more so is it a case between a human, a creature, and his beloved God, his beloved Lord. I'm sorry, that's the way he wants it. But you know, the more you love, the more we love, the more we have to suffer. And there is no getting away from that. And the beautiful part of it all is that the more I love, the more I desire, the more I wish, the more I am happy to suffer for the one I love. The more I want to give the one I love something, myself, my love, and my all. That's the way it works. And your suffering, our suffering is not a burden. It was heavy, but it's not a burden, because we want to do it. We want to prove to him, to our beloved, that we truly love him. Now, in addition to this, this morning, in the back in the vestibule, we've put out some cards. Please take only one to a family. This is not the All Souls Day card. We'll put those out next Sunday. This card here is simply putting your name, your family name, and the names of those that belong to you. And if you have some special intentions, there's room for that too in the back. This card will be placed right next to the tabernacle. And it will be kept there perpetually. I cannot bring you any closer to him, physically speaking, than that. I've told you that even though the circumstances, this is a monastery and we all understand the circumstances, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But you come here, my beloved people. You're our brothers and sisters. And it is our privilege and our earnest desire to give you the peace and the serenity that goes with climbing the ladder to sanctity. You say, you thank God for our presence here and for what our presence does for you. We appreciate that. We truly do. But that's a one-way street that you're talking about. You have no idea what your presence does for us. And so together, we put our names together and you join us in your own schedule of life. You join us in prayer. That's my dearest ones, there is nothing else that we can do but pray today. Who is it that can change the course of the moon or the sun or the stars? Certainly not me, and I know not you. But there are those who think they can. Prayer is all we have. And the more we get together and pray together and love together, and all, I don't speak this, you know what I mean when I use the word love, together. The more chance, the better chance we have of being heard by Him who is there to listen. He wants to know who he and she is that loves Him. And my beloved people, again, I speak as a fool. He cannot but listen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. I will not be long at this. As I said earlier, we have talked now on what to do to be Catholic. Now we have to take our time to learn what to do to become saints. And as it has happened the last few times in the bulletin, that the instruction in the bulletin is such that the sermon is almost from it. And if we just stick with this, and I bring to our attention the important points in the bulletin that we should stress. First of all, again and again, I ask you, I plead with you, please study the bulletins. Study the bulletins carefully. Use these as spiritual reading. Use these, as we also have on our special notes that come on the airwaves to us. Together, all of these, use these as our guidelines, telling us how to save our souls. It is not a matter of saying, I believe, I want to be saved, I don't want to go to hell, I don't want this, I want that, I want the other, I want to go to heaven. My beloved people, that is, if our Lord, God's not listening to that. And if you were in charge, would you? That's such flimsy talk. That's street talk. That means nothing. The salvation of our souls does not come easy. And why? Because the salvation of our souls demands one thing first and foremost, that has to go. And that's the one thing that we cleave to with all the strength in our bodies, and that is our own personal, private, selfish self-will. That has to go. Period. Today we start at the beginning in our bulletins, and we look at temptation, it's possible that you have a mistaken idea that each one, I speak individually, that, you know, I'm the only one that's tempted. The rest of them, I don't think they're tempted. My dear people, Christ himself was tempted, wasn't he? So we go today to the very beginning. And what causes for us, I've stepped aside now from Christ, what causes it for us? Everything that you have come into visual contact with this morning is registered. Just since you came into this church this morning, for the few minutes you've been in here, look, think for a moment, how many photographs your eyes have taken just since you entered this room. Thousands, I dare say, and thousands of photographs. Photographs of one or the other, photographs of the church, photographs of the altar, photographs of anything you can possibly conceive of. It has been taken, the first thought, and it is in your and my head. And that photograph will in some way or other influence me or you, for good or for bad. But we probably think in terms of the bad rather than the good, which is all right. And in thinking of the bad, it is possible that many of us, again, if we go off in the wild blue yonder and take up our own ideas about this, that, or the other, and not follow what is said about it, a temptation as such is not a sin. It is not even an imperfection. Now, as your eye travels, how does your mind travel? It travels in the same way. It is constantly, 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 constantly moving and moving and moving and moving. Even when you're concentrated, your mind is going all over the place. There are good things, bad things, and different things, all kinds of things come to your mind. Last night's supper, the other day's movie, whatever, whatever. Everything comes to your mind, my mind. Think not sin. And we must understand that, however, if that which comes to my mind at the moment is a matter of sin, and I allow it to stay there, and by staying there, like any fire, you know, it begins to build and build and build, then I am responsible. I have committed a sin. I have nourished that temptation. Temptations are sent to us, are allowed for us, as you will read, allowed to come to us by the goodness of Almighty God. I speak for myself. If temptation did not bring me low, if temptation was not there to buffet me all over the place and knock me around, If I were free of these first thoughts, if I were free of temptation, my beloved people, you would be looking at the most ungodly, proud devil that has ever walked the face of this earth. But temptation brings to my mind that I am unworthy, that I am nothing. In God's sight, I am nothing. Now, again, this nothing that I speak of is not this body, as we have said over and over again. This, we know, is, you know what it is. Who is me? What is me? That's what God looks at. And I will not become a blob, a bubble, floating around in the stratosphere, you know, someplace lost amongst the stars. I am not that. I am me. With all of me that and more there is in me right now. And the only difference is that I have stepped across a line on my journey to completion and shed of this trap that I'm in, I will be able with greater degree to enjoy blessedness, or which God forbid, to suffer damnation. I would suffer damnation with greater intensity than I have ever known. And I would enjoy blessedness with greater intensity than I have ever known. But in order to achieve this, I've got to prove myself. And what is a proof? Not my information. People think that God's going to give us an IQ test sometime or other. God is not interested in knowing what I know. The only thing that God wants to know is that one thing which we all ask all the time, did you love me? That's all. And so, my beloved people, study the bulletins. Read your catechism. Pick one up. Don't worry about paying for them. Take them. We've got more, and if you run out, which I don't care, we'll buy more. But that's our textbook. And as long as you stay within the area of that book, anytime anybody comes to you with any kind of an opinion or a this or that or whatever, simply say, let's go check the book out. See what the book has to say. And then, after that, the book has spoken, the matter is closed. Does that not make sense? So God bless us all as we proceed on our journey to sanctity, my beloved people.